You might like to open your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. We have been in the study of the Gospel of John. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for being who you are. Thank you for your person and presence. God, thanks. In quietness and confidence, God, let us discover afresh and anew thy wonderful truth. That which helps us understand ourselves, understand you, and understand the world that we live in. And our God will thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study, we have going, if I may, directly, we have studied in verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that God sent his Son to save. God also will say in John 9, he sent his Son to judge. And they aren't contradictory. It's a paradox. Judge, save. They seem opposite. They aren't contradictory, as we shared last time. Now, if I may, the world is broken up into two groups. And you'll notice it, please, in verse 18 of chapter 3. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So, A, group one, those that believe. And they are not condemned. The word condemn means to be judged. They are not judged. On one hand, because they're believing. They're resting on who the wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ is. On the other hand, if you don't believe, that's a second group, people that believe on the one hand, people that don't believe on the other. And they don't believe, as you note in verse 18, they don't believe. They believe not. And they are condemned already. And they're judged already. Why is that? The word already means now, right now, right now. Right now, an adverb, right now. They're judged right now. So here there's two groups in the world. One believes and one doesn't. There's all kinds of division and differences, but God centers it down to believers and unbelievers. And you'll notice, please, verse 18, the person is condemned already because he hath not believed, rested his case, his fully trust, like you're sitting in the pew, giving yourself totally, allowing the pew to be the pew, allowing God to be God. Letting God say what he has to say, mean what he has to say, and fulfill all of his wonderful plan and purpose for your life. And thus, in the process, they didn't believe. They didn't rest their heart down upon God's person, rely upon him confidently, fully committed to his person that God cannot lie. Now, and thus they don't believe in the name of the only begotten, the unique Son of God. Now, having said that, the two groups, and we shared together what to do, we went through it, I just do it very quickly though. God, everyone is in the presence of God. Everyone. Everywhere, all over, forever. God is. You can go nowhere, Psalm 139, etc., that God is not. So, that's clear. And if you go back in history, you'll remember that Adam and Eve, there are no other gods, there's no other religion, there's just God. And Adam and Eve knew it. Noah and the world that he lived in knew it. Abraham knew it, and the world that he lived in knew it. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel, they all knew. They all knew. They all knew God. They had no question. The church is to be very conscious of God, and being very conscious of God, the believing, believers, church, should represent God. If they believe God and his name, they're resting on his saving grace, then the world should know that his, I don't believe, but you do believe, and theirs, what do we believe? We're believing in the presence of God. We share together Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. There's no other God and no other way, no other place, period. So God is all alone. There are no other gods. He's the only God, the only Savior, Isaiah 43, etc., etc. He's the only God and only Savior. And the heavens declare, Psalm 19, heavens declare the glory of God. Everything is created, the flowers, birds, bugs, stars. Your own physical body is a marvel of wonders, body as it is. And having said that, everything attests to God. And his word, giving his word, makes it very clear he is God. He says so emphatically, clearly, statedly. There are no other gods, only idols we create, Buddhas and the rest of them. There are no other gods, only God. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and that all the world knows God, in Psalm, Romans chapter 1, 18, 19, 20, and all the way. All the world knows God. And why do they know God? Because God makes himself known. Every human being that is born on the face of the earth, no matter where they're born, they have a knowledge of God. They know. They know that a kangaroo is in God. They know that a totem pole is in God. They know that the moon is in God. They all know. You don't have to have a great IQ for that. They all know this God. So what are we going to do with the God that we know? And God makes himself known, so it isn't up to us. God did that in fairness to every human being. Because he wants them, he died for them. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, there's two groups. And thus, as we share, in the John chapter 3, 18, that the person is condemned already because they don't believe. God doesn't condemn them. They condemn themselves because they choose to honor the person and presence of God. There's no competition of gods, religions, or for the birds. There's no competition with God. So either we're going to honor him or we're not as created beings. Now, having said that, so that everyone is going to be condemned, because if we don't receive the love of God, then the love of God ends up doing the only thing it can do, and is judge us. We're judged because we reject him. And when we reject him, we have no light, and we have no life, and we have no love. We're missing. Without him, we don't have any of that. No righteousness. So now, over to John. The Spirit of God is going to help us some more with that. John chapter 16, and picking up, if I may, going directly to verse 7. Nevertheless, said the Lord Jesus, I tell you the truth. It is expedient, it is necessary for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter, the Spirit of God, will not come. unto you, but I will depart, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Verse 9, verse 8. And when he, the Spirit of God, has come, the Spirit of truth, he will do what? He will reprove, convict, convince, make clear, prove, convicts. He will convict, convince. He will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And now, sin. Sin is singular. Hang on to that. Not sins. It's easy for us to talk about our sins, something we did wrong. But sin, the problem of our nature, that is very difficult. We don't want to talk about sin. And it's sin keeps us from believing, because we don't want to expose ourselves, as you'll see. So here in verse John 16 and verse 9, of sin singular, because they believe not on me. They do not believe. And that's why they're condemned. They aren't condemned because they've been a bad guy, a good guy. Oh, they've been very nice. They've been very whatever. They're not condemned for that. Not condemned. Christ died for that. They're condemned because they don't believe. They don't believe in God's saving solution. That's why they're condemned already, right now. And thus, secondly, the Spirit and the Spirit of God is the soul winner of all of us and all our efforts to reach out and encourage people to know the living and only God. We do all, and we should do all of our part. But when we're all done, we cannot take the place of God, who convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's his job. That's his ministry. Not mine. I don't go convict people of sin. I just tell them all their sins. No, I don't need to tell them all their sins. The Spirit of God will tell them, helps them. So now, secondly, of righteousness, because I go to my Father. I go to my Father, and you see me no more. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his perfect humanity, satisfies God's righteous demands, and he thus is received and sits at the right hand of God, and his perfect humanity, resurrected humanity, sits there. Granting, God, have you made it? Did the saving work of our Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, did it satisfy? Yes, it did. How do we know? He's seated there. He is accepted. He is seated. He is received. And thus, dear friends, thus he provides a rightness for us. He not only is received, but he provides a rightness. He becomes our righteousness. Everyone that would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God becomes to the, when I receive the Lord as my Savior, among so many things, God brings to me the righteousness that I need, and that righteousness is in his Son. And when I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I receive the righteousness of God in his Son. And his Son becomes to me my righteousness, as you know, by imputation. Now, also, verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The prince of this world is already judged. Not he's going to be judged. He is judged. He isn't going to go to trial. There is no trial, only awaiting punishment, the exercise of the sentence. Hell is prepared for what? The devil and his angels. That's already done. No trial, all done. Verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. He's judged already. Satan sinned, claimed for himself that which belongs to God, Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. And when a human chooses to follow the same line of thinking, they end up sharing the judgment that the devil has and his angels. Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, not for humans. God died for humans. But humans that reject God end up there. The same as Satan and his angels will. They aren't there yet. Now, having said that, over if you would please to lock in that part of it, Revelation chapter 20. Revelation and chapter 20. And you have in Revelation chapter 20, the verse 11, the great white throne judgment. That is only for unsaved. That would include Cain and all the way to the end of the millennium. And thus, the great white throne judgment is for the unsaved. And God requires righteousness. That's why Christ died, to provide that righteousness. Now, righteousness is missing if you leave Christ out of your life, you reject Christ, you reject God's gift of rightness, and you're going to have to trust your own rightness, your right thinking, right acting, right being. You're going to trust your rightness is suffice. And if you're going to go and make comparison, 2 Corinthians 10 and 12, comparing ourselves among ourselves and doing all that, that's nonsense. Because I'm trying to find someone that's worse than me. There's people that are better than me, but I'll find people that are worse than me. And somewhere I'm in the middle here, so I'm not as good as I should be, but I'm not as bad as I could be. And so we try to do all that kind of stuff. And in the process, we try to establish righteousness of some kind in some form. Now, over, if you would, in chapter 20 and verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Verse 13. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell, Hades, Sheol, delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged. By the way, the word judged is the word John 3 and 18. They are condemned. Condemned, not condemned. Judged. Here is the word. Same verb. In the middle of verse 13, and which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his works. According to his works. Would you please note, they are not condemned according to their sins. They're not condemned according to their sins. They're condemned according to their works. What did Christ do? He died for the sins of how many? He died for the sins of the world. And that includes them. They are judged for their works, because of their works, not their sins. Now, having said that, putting that together a little better, would you, having rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, which is to be our right, he was made our righteousness, made right, the right person to produce the right results for us. Over in Romans chapter 3, please. Romans chapter 3. And in Romans chapter 3, picking up, may I go directly in the light of the context now, verse 20. Therefore, 3 and 20. Therefore, by the deeds, the word deeds is the word works that you have in Revelation 20. Works, deeds, things done, said. Verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds, the works of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The word justified, to be made, declared righteous. No one can be declared righteousness by the works of the law. You can't do it. There's no way to produce it, no way to make it happen. We're justified by faith, not by works. Our works condemn us. Our works say what? Our works tell us that we're seeking to outwork. If well, you're here in Romans, why not? Turn over to chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And you'll please note in verse 10 and verse 2 of Israel. For I bear them record, witness, that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness. They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Verse 4. For reason, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. And if you leave him out, you have no rightness. You cannot be justified before God. Secondly, would you please note, over to James. James in chapter 2, book of James. If you find Peter, you went too far. The book of James, chapter 2. What else do we know? By their works. They're judged by their works, not their sins. James chapter 2, and picking up, please, in verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is what? Dead. Being alone. Yea, if a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So faith in itself is an attitude of believing. And belief has to be put somewhere to show you're believing. Again, using an old illustration often used, you believe the pew that you're sitting on. I know you have faith in the pew, you're sitting on it. If you weren't sitting on it, I have no way for you, you have no way to demonstrate faith to me. You have to believe something, do something. By faith. Faith says I'm believing, and believing locks itself down on something or someone. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. It has no. Faith, if it doesn't have, where, if you have faith in God, then you're going to show God. You're going to rest down in God, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You're going to be saved. That's what you're going to do. Verse 17 again, or verse 18. Yea, if a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils, the demons, also believe and tremble, and that ought to encourage your heart with all the world that says, I don't believe in God, I don't believe this, I don't believe that, there is no God. You can do all you want. When the demonic world says God is the only God, I suggest, even if you don't know the Lord or the people don't, I suggest you listen to the other world out there that's very clear about God. We may be stupid about God, but they aren't stupid. The devil knows, demons know, there's only one God. We're going to have to, you'll catch it tonight in the message if we get that far. Now, and in verse 19, again, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well, the demons, the devils, demons, also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Faith without works is dead. Verse 21, when was not Abraham, our father, justified by works, when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? In other words, why did you offer? Because God said to do it. And he, Abraham, offered his son. By faith, he believed what God said. Seest thou, verse 22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by his works his faith was made perfect. And you can keep reading down when you come down to verse 26. For by the body, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Also, you got to have. So what do the works do? The work, not sin, what do the works do? It shows we aren't, our works show that we're trying to do it ourselves, and we can't produce the righteousness ourselves. We can't make it happen. We can't do it. We don't have them. So when you test all my works, where is the rightness? There is none. There isn't any. That's the whole point. That's why the lake of fire follows. Because there is no righteousness. It's all wrong. No rightness. Now, so, and by the way, without turning there, if you went to Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, and kept reading, all 2 and 3, chapters 2 and 3, every single of all seven churches, what does God say at the beginning of every one of them? I know thy sin. He doesn't say that. He said, I know thy works. He doesn't say sin. I know your works. Your works will show whether you are trusting me or not. Now, having said that and keeping that in the forefront, over if you would. Oh, over please. Back over to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. And you'll notice, now it's one thing not to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, the penalty, the issue is so much further than that. So here's John chapter 3, picking up the next statement. This, verse 19. Remember, belief, unbelief, and unbelief leads to what? And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Condemnation, they're condemned already. What is this condemnation? What is this awfulness? That they have chosen darkness as opposed to light. Death as opposed to life. Hate as opposed to love when it comes to God. They have chosen that. And thus, the human heart doesn't want to be exposed. You look at it, pick it up, please, in verse 20. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. Why not? Lest his deeds, his works, there's your word for works, should be reproved, should be made manifest. They don't want to be exposed. So, and we shared it last time. You know it. All of us know it. We're very defensive, and we're very self-centered, and we're very protective of ourselves. Most of the time, all humans want to protect themselves from being truly exposed. Now, when you hit the thing that you've studied and you're very good in, you speak on that. But the minute I can get you off center into something else, that you aren't so competent in, that you aren't so good in, you know. And remember, the years ago, I can say it because it's so long ago, many, many years ago here, when we were at the state hospital, again, not as patients, classes. And we had, there was a Wesleyan professor there, long gone. Wesleyan professor, and he was given all the tests for his particular field. Wesleyan sent all the tests from the students up to him, and he corrected them. He was brilliant in his field. But he couldn't handle general living. he would be exposed. We don't want to be exposed. We don't want to see how what we really are and aren't in here. We don't want that. So we do everything we can defensively and offensively to protect us. And thus, we love darkness rather than light, because we don't want to have the light. The light exposes us, and therefore it exposes ourself, our sin, our nature. It shows we have no true God. We have no relationship to God. We can talk about God. We can sing about God. We can even pray, but we have no relationship to him. No saving grace whatsoever. And so now, here we are looking in verse 19. The light has come into the world. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And thus, over if you would, to John chapter 12. The Gospel of John chapter 12. And you'll notice, picking up please in verse 44 for a little bit of the context. John 12 and 44. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but him that sent me." I represent, in my perfect humanity, God, God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Ghost. Verse 45. "He that seeth me, seeth him that sent me." That's why in John 14, he will say to them plainly, to Thomas and that, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I and my Father are one." God, God, are you going to make, I make, God, make myself, God, I'm going to make myself very clear for you to understand. I made you in my image and likeness, and I want you to understand, here I am in your image and likeness, as it were, for you to see who I am and what I'm like. And thus, picking up please, in verse 46, "I am come a light," said the Lord Jesus, "into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." I don't want them in darkness. They love darkness. I don't want them in darkness. Verse 47. "If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He," verse 48, "that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words," they would not receive him, and would not receive his word, "hath one that judgeth him." Here's your word, condemn. "The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Verse 49. "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment that I should, what I should say and what I should speak. And as perfect man, I'm going to tell you, speaking God in me, going to tell you what you need to know." And by the way, verse 50, "And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." I want you to know, I represent God in all of his wonderfulness, and as perfect man, I'm trying to tell you in a most simple, clear way, if you don't receive me as your Savior, you are condemned already. You have no righteousness. You cannot pass the test. Thus, over to John chapter 3 and in verse 19. Men love darkness rather than light. And the reason, verse 19, because their deeds, their works were evil. The word evil means labor, sorrow, pain, misery, malignancy, worthlessness. The tree has rotten fruit. The fruit is no good. It's evil. It is worthless. Verse 19. Because, the end of the verse, their deeds were evil, worthless. Their deeds were evil. What they did. They loved darkness rather than light. They didn't want to be exposed. Do you really want to be exposed? I bet you didn't. I bet if I said, I have a particular machine, like going through the airport. Going through the airport. And the machine not only shows your bones, whatever. Shows whatever. But, it shows your mind and heart, and it would show your whole thought process. Would you want that exposed? Come on. Come on, you wouldn't dare want that. No, sir. No. No, sir. All the rotten, lousy things that pass through our mind, dump them. No. They didn't want to be exposed. They love darkness. Now, why do they love darkness? And you know, you read it in 1 John, in the Lord Jesus Christ is light. God is light, L-I-G-H-T, and in him is no darkness. When you reject God, you reject light. Why do you reject light? Because you love darkness. You don't want to get into the light. Now, having said that, I'm going to have you turn, most of you know it, but for those who don't, hold your finger here if you like, in John, and go over with me, please, to Isaiah. You probably have memorized it, but just so there's no question. Isaiah, and in chapter 5, Isaiah chapter 5, what do we know about how do we handle darkness and light? There has to be a system, because we can't get rid of light, we can't get rid of God. We can't get rid of him. There's only one God, and we can't get rid of him. He can get rid of us, but we can't get rid of him. So now, God, here we are. Now, how are we going to love darkness rather than light? Well, because we have to maneuver. And thus, Isaiah chapter 5, in particular, verse 20. What was their maneuver? Israel. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Going to turn it all upside down. So we, in a world of darkness, we're going to call it light. And when these little items come up, here and there, about light, we need to know the truth. We need to understand God, and we're going to call that darkness. And when we call it darkness, we can forget it. And everyone can believe whatever you want. In the dark, a colored chart. If I had one, and I had a colored chart, and I pointed to something, not one of you would know what color it is. I wouldn't even know. And we could all call it whatever we wish, and who's to say we're wrong? No one's going to say we're wrong, because everyone could be wrong. So we aren't going to say a thing. Men love darkness rather than light. And when we call this light, then we get away with all the good stuff is dark. Dark. And you can call it, that's why religion. What's religion's right? Oh, any old religion will do. Any old thing will do. Any old church will do. Anything is good enough. We like it. It gives us freedom to call light darkness and darkness light. To call evil, evil. Evil good and good evil. Now, back over to John chapter 3, please. In John chapter 3, and picking up, if I can, in John chapter 3, and let me do one other thing while you're here, just to help, I hope. Hold your finger in John 3 again. You don't have to turn far, just hold a few pages to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And let me do it again for you. And over it'll sink in. I got it. Luke chapter 11, picking up, please, Verse 34, our Lord Jesus, the light of the body is the eye. The eye is likened to a lamp in the middle of your living room that lights. The eye is the lamp of the body. Therefore, when thine eye is single, sound, healthy, thy whole body, which is full, thy whole body also is full of light. You have the light lights in the room, the whole room is affected, influenced by the light. But, verse 34, when thine eye is evil, there's your word that you're looking at in John, evil, unsound, thy body also is full of darkness. Therefore, if the lamp's out, the whole room is dark. Take heed, look out, verse 35. Therefore, take heed, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Calling darkness light and light darkness. Be careful you're not saying, I have light, when it actually is darkness. Take heed. Understand. You may be mislabeling and got it all mixed up. Now, having said that, over to Acts chapter 26. If your finger's still there, you're all right. Acts chapter 26. God, what have you done for us? Acts chapter 26. The gospel, wonderful gospel message the Apostle Paul delivered. Would you please note Acts 26, verse 18. Paul, what are you saying? What are you doing? I've come to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, verse 18, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified, set apart by faith, that is in me. I've come to bring the message, Paul speaking for our Lord. I come to bring them from darkness to light. And you know, why not? 2 Corinthians, it'll help us directly. You know it, but in the light of the context, in the light of the subject matter, watch how it comes together. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 3, chapter 4, verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, so they don't see. Lest, why don't they want to see? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They don't want light in their light. They love darkness rather than light. Verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give what? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? In the face of Jesus Christ. We receive the Lord as our Savior. He is the light of the world. When I receive the Lord Jesus Christ, He becomes the light of my life. And He is the one who lights up my life. He gives understanding to the whole ball of wax. He delivers us from the power of darkness. Colossians chapter 1. He calls us into fellowship, out of darkness, into the wonderful relationship to God. He calls us out of darkness, from the power of darkness. We become children of light. God does something marvelous to the believing heart, and God rescues them, so that to love darkness rather than light is not good. Now, over to chapter 3. And we read together, verse 20, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. As long as you're doing evil, as long as you're doing that which is evil, wicked, vile, worthless, morally bad, why would you want to have light? Don't you like to be able to, I'll just ask a simple question, don't you like doing what you do even though it's wrong? You do it. Why do you do it? Because you like doing it. You know it isn't good thinking, but you do it anyway. Why is that? Well, because we like it. We love darkness other than light. And verse 20, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. And light louses up my thought process. I have to think differently. I have to feel differently. I have to look differently. I look at flowers differently. I look at bugs differently. I look at books differently. I look at my life, my job, my home, my work, my health, my wealth. I look at all of that differently. And thus, he hateth the light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And the word reprove means to be made manifest, to bring out, to make them, to discover them, to make them all come and put on the top of the table so you see them. And we don't want to have that. We don't want to have all our works. Revelation chapter 20, I'm going to judge you, all of you, by your works. Now, you know, having said that, the end of verse 20, lest his deeds should be reproved. God, what are you going to do with the great white throne judgment? I'm going to make all of those works visible. And they're going to be bankrupt. There's no righteousness. They don't want it right now. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen. All of their works are going to come to the front and center. And they'll want them front and center. But God said, I'm going to judge you, not on your sins, because I died for that. And you are condemned already because of your sin. You rejected our Lord Jesus Christ, the only sin. I died for all of them. Every one of them. Now, but if you want to claim something that you are able to produce a rightness that is matchable, matches our Lord, what he gives you in grace and mercy, then here's all your works come together and you put them in a big pile. Find me the rightness that matches the righteousness that I, a holy, righteous God, require, that I have provided for you in grace and mercy in my Son. Show me your rightness. And you can't do it. We can't do it. No, not at all. Not at all. Therefore, verse 21, on the other hand, the believing, we just talked about the person that's condemned. What about the person that believes? Verse 21, but he that doeth is doing. He that is doing, he that doeth truth, the want the truth, God, cometh to the light. God, I want it true. I don't want it make-believe. I don't want to call darkness light and light darkness. I want to call it for what it is. I'm going to call the thing what it is. Sin is sin, that's all. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, you want to come to the light. That's right. That's why you get saved, isn't it? You're in the dark, and you want to get saved. I don't want to be in the dark. I want to be in the light. God, I don't want to be separate from you. I can't escape you. So I might as well, my benefit, know you as my Lord and Savior, and give you the place in my life to be all that you intended to be when Christ died on the cross and rose again from the grave. I want all of that in my life. Now, having said that, verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds, there's your word deeds, the works, may be made manifest, clear, public, plain, to show them forth, to make them very apparent, public, open. And remember now, it isn't my works. What am I want to see? I don't want to see my works. I want to see your working. I want to see God's wonderful working in my life. That's what I want to see. So now, why do I want to see the working of God? Why am I going to have assurance of salvation? Why am I going to have security? Surety. Certain. It isn't in me. Never going to happen. No. I want all, what am I doing? God, I trusted you. Faith without, James, faith without works is dead. So we're trusting God. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it will produce what? Eternal life. And you have eternal life. That produced it. What did? You believed. Faith with works. I put my faith right where you said to. I put it in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I got saved. That's right. And I want my life, God, I want to be exposed to you in the light. I don't want to walk in darkness. I want to know that all that I have, that I can, like in Sunday school, remember the problems, how to handle problems, and going down, looking way down the road here. I want to be able to look down the road into tomorrow, and I want to know that it's going to be all right. I want to know that with all the complications and all the things going on now, I want to know that it's all right down the road. All right, God. And when I say that, God, I need to know that everything that I'm counting on you, God, counting on your word, counting on the light, I'm counting on you. So, God, I want to know that it is wrought, the end of verse 20, 21, that they are wrought, worked, God. God, it's something you have done, something you perform. I want to know that. God, I want to know. You know in Philippians 2:12, don't you? Work out your own salvation with what? With fear and trembling. Work it out. Not somebody else's. You. Forget everybody else in a good way. You work out your own. Knowing. No, and the very next day, you can't do 12 without 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to what? To do of his good pleasure. I wanted to make sure that whatever I got, wood, hay, and stubble as a believer, I want assurance that what I have is of you. It's centered in your wonderful saving grace in the person of Jesus Christ. I want all the effort, all that I have, all that I'm to do to eat and drink to your wonderful glory and honor. God, I want all of that to happen in my life. And I want it all centered in you. And I don't want to trust myself. If I have to trust something I did, I'm like the Romans 10 and 2 and 3 and 4. Israel trusting their own righteousness. That we did good enough. We're gooder. We're better than somebody. No, if we're all either you're condemned already or you're not condemned. There's no middle ground. There's no gray area. There's no middle anything. No, church, I'm a bishop. Well, I'm not a bishop. A pope? No. Just a believer. Resting in the same, I hope, same Lord and God that you do. And we're either in or we're out. We're either saved or we aren't saved. I don't care who you are. And there are a lot of dear people, religious people, I'm telling you. And God help them. God help us. But boy, I want to make sure all my works, God. I love the light. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, you read it. 1 John 1:7. As we have fellowship one with another, and how can we ever live like that? Because the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 John 1:7. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ is what? Cleansing us from all sin. Yeah. It's the only way. God, I want to count on that. I don't want to count on any stupid thing about me. You know, I brought a great message. Never. No. I helped people. Never. I did anything. Never. I wouldn't count one thing that I ever did. And I say that with all my heart. As sincere as can be. I wouldn't count on one blessed thing if you gave me a whole lottery ticket that wins. Not one thing in my life would I count on. I count on only my Lord Jesus Christ. That's all. You betcha. You bet. So either you're in or you're out, condemned or not condemned. God, you made it clear. It isn't a complicated thing. Either we're going to trust you and know you, or we're not. Either we're going to love darkness rather than light, or we're going to call darkness light and light darkness and play the game, but then we lose. We lose. And we try to figure out the difficulty in Colorado with the thing that happened out there. And we're trying to put all that together. And we're trying to do it without you. God, it isn't going to come out. Not for us. No, we better have another window to look through. We better have another way to get a glimpse of what's happening and why. And it will help us. Our Father in God, we look to you with all a little. God, deal with us, please, according to your good pleasure. Thank you for each one, God. Convict, convince us all. Spirit of God, wonderful ministry that you have of honoring our Lord Jesus Christ in thy word. Spirit of God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So deal with us. We have all the different things, God. And you are very good. You are very great. You are gracious beyond our understanding. Be to us all that you are, in and because of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we learn to nestle with you and not wrestle. And our God will thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. And perhaps we can sing. There's no number there in the hymnal in your bulletin, but if we make up one, how